Welcome to the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite, your premier destination for transformative insights, expert guidance, and unparalleled motivation. Join Jimmy Clare, a distinguished thought leader, renowned motivational speaker, and devoted autism advocate as he shares inspiring stories, cutting-edge strategies, and actionable advice to empower you to shatter obstacles, unlock your potential, and achieve crazy amazing results.
Weekly Motivation. That has been listened to all over the world. Listen to our podcast on all the major platforms. Tune in to listen and watch every week. We cover everything that is healthy living. We promote healthy living through Autistic Oz. Hosted by Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker and autism advocate. Jimmy has been featured in many publications around the world. This is the Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast. That's Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Today's guest, his name is Austin Page. From nearly losing his life to living and creating his bonus room, own life, he's been a full-time coach for over 10 years, and he uses his personal experience and adversities to overcome to help push others into growth. And I look forward to talking with him today, because this is right up my, I was in a funk last 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm slowly and steadily getting myself out of this funk. And last night, going to a webinar, got me out of this funk even further. But I'm always ready to learn more new things and learn how to motivate others even more. That's the word I was looking for. And sorry if my voice is, just all over the place today. That's my day today. Everywhere all at once. It doesn't add up really good. Math does not add up. But anyway, let's welcome Austin now. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Jimmy.
So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Yeah, Jimmy. Well, thank you for having me. And I would love to tell my story and hopefully it reaches somebody and inspires somebody to maybe take action on their own path or journey. But my journey, per se, that I guess we're on here to talk about is from nearly losing my life, which goes back to 2010. In 2010, May 9th exactly, 2010, which was Mother's Day that year, I was at a party and I was 20 years old, and a typical 20-year-old, for the most part, like to go out on the weekends, find the party or the happening and get involved and have fun. And I had a little too much fun that night, which I did often when I was growing up through high school and into early college. Ended up drinking a little too much that evening and wanted to go home. And growing up all through high school and even into those early years of college, I thought I was Superman. I thought nothing would ever happen to me. Nothing could touch me. I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Typical ego of a young, dumb guy. And wanted to go home that night after drinking way too much. And hopped in my car. I don't remember hopping in my car, and made it the typical story of about a mile away from the house to where I ran off the road and wrecked my car. I didn't hurt anybody else. Nobody else was involved in this wreck. It was a pretty desolate road, which doesn't make it right or, a good thing. But fortunately, no one else was hurt except me and my dumb ego. But that wreck landed me in the hospital for over 7 weeks. And then from there, I was moved to a rehabilitation center to where I learned how to walk and do, simple things that we all take for granted. I lived there for 2 months and then slowly got released from that and moved back home to very quickly of a story recap, getting to where I am now, which is coaching and helping others find their way, sort of break out of self-limiting beliefs and creating their own identity, per se. Because back when I was younger, I didn't quite have my own identity. And a lot of people don't growing up, but some people know what they want to do. They want to go off to college. They want to do this as a career. They have some type of vision or path. But me was just, my vision or path was, hey, I'm worried about next Friday. Actually, next Thursday. It's Thursday, we're going to drink. Friday, we're going to drink. Saturday, we're going to drink. Sunday, we might drink a little bit to cure from Thursday through Saturday. And then Monday through Wednesday, go to school, do a little side work, and then back at it the next Thursday. So that was my path, and it was taking me nowhere quick.
Well, there's a few things I want to piggyback off a little bit. I kind of know what you mean a little bit, but I mean, I was never into partying, like drinking or anything. But for me, it was basically a lot of video games. My life didn't revolve around video games. Like, I went to school Monday through Friday. Hated every aspect of school. Maybe that a lot of people can relate to that, just because being forced to do math, science, history, and just the routine basics, and getting bullied for 8+ years on top of that. I always loved playing video games, but I got to a point where pretty much every single day when I got home was video games, video games, video games, video games, video games. And I was like, okay, to a point, I was kind of like, I know I was pretty much on the wrong path, but it was like my escape from bullying.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, it's not like I'm hurting anyone else, and it's not like I'm... So I was like, I'm just going to keep playing. Eventually, I got tired of feeling that all I'm just doing is playing video games, and all my friends are doing all this other stuff, and here I am playing more video games. And so finally, I got to the point where I quit for a couple of months, which I was kind of bored with my time at the time, because like, huh, what do I do with my free time? And I was like, and so finally, one of my friends who I met along in the game, and I still stay in touch with them, and they said to me, it's like, Jimmy, you should come back. And I was like, okay, if I come back, I'm putting a blocker so I can get to it during the week where I'm working or going to college, and I'm still in college, but I decided to, I was like, okay, if I come back, I'm putting a block on each one of these apps or other games on my computer. Can't get through Monday through Friday, unless it's a vacation week. And when I'm on my vacation week, an extended family or friends I haven't seen in a long time is in my neck of the woods.
Yep.
It's better to take that offer than to play video games. Unless they want to play, of course, but...
Well, dude, that's pretty smart and good thinking and good discipline to be able to put your own lock on your game, right? I think that takes awareness.
And definitely. So my next question for you is, did it feel when you were coming, when after the accident and everything, how did you know where you wanted to go next in your life?
So it was almost like levels. Before the wreck, like I mentioned, to give another quick recap, I was, you know, that typical guy that didn't really have much going on besides my only hobby was partying. I come from a small town of what's called Tappahannock, Virginia, which the only thing really from there is kind of a big person, but Chris Brown, the rapper. But outside of that, it's just a small farm town. I think I had a graduating class of like 98 people. So a very small high school as well. And wasn't many hobbies around there, you know? So outside of that, I was drinking a lot and partying and just getting into trouble. Many other things that I could go along and stories of things that didn't include alcohol of getting in trouble still. But during that wreck and during that process of recovering, after I had been through the wreck, I ended up in the hospital to where I broke both my legs from the knees down and the ankle. And I also ruptured my intestines. So they had to cut me open almost like a zipper from my sternum, top of my or bottom of my rib cage down to my pretty much my pelvic bone or like hips, and had to go in there and splice back up my intestines that I had ruptured from that wreck. And that led me to eventually moving to that rehab center. And that's where things took off and started to sort of take the turn in my life. Before this whole wreck and scenario, I really wasn't into fitness or working out. I'd go work out occasionally once or twice a week at a YMCA, but I really didn't know what I was doing. And I was just doing it more so for the vanity of it. You know, I wanted to get a little bit bigger. I wanted to get stronger. You know, it was typical high school, early college. You want to be a guy, you know? And during that rehab stint, every morning, even in my wheelchair, my physical therapist would come to my room and say, hey, get your ass out of bed, hop over into the wheelchair, and we're going to stroll down to the gym. They had a gym inside this rehabilitation center, and every morning I'd have to go down there and do a workout. Whether it was in the wheelchair and I had dumbbells, or I was in the parallel bars doing dips, or the cable machine, I'd pull up to it, hit the brakes in the wheelchair, and bang out some triceps or bicep curls. And it was something to pass the time in there. And it also, I don't know, made me feel good about myself. I was able to get out of bed and do something, you know, instead of just sitting there watching TV all day and hearing all the old people that were in this place moan and groan. So the love and almost not addiction, but the love and discipline of waking up, going down to the gym, working out, taking care of myself, building myself, sort of grew. That seed grew from that rehabilitation stint where I lived there for about 2 months. And once I left the rehabilitation center, I realized my old ways and habits weren't really getting me anywhere I wanted to be, right? It was on a quick path to nowhere. So my first job getting back home or released from that was at a local gym in that town of Tappahannock. And fortunately, they hired me and I was working a front desk job and it gave me a free membership. And that's where things really took off, because not only did I work at the gym, after or before, I would go and work out every day. So it started to create that habit and that that internal self-work and building myself up, you know, and giving me something to focus on. I think, you know, that can go hand in hand for a lot of young people, guys or girls, is if you don't really have anything to really focus on, you can find your way into trouble. At least I did pretty quick. So it gave me something to just, I don't know, get behind. It kept me out of trouble. It kept me from, you know, you can't, there's a saying, you can't be a bodybuilder and a rock star, or a rock star and a bodybuilder. So if you want to feel good during your lifts and perform your best, you probably shouldn't drink the night before. So me going into the gym more often kept me from drinking or partaking more often. So I don't know, things just lined up that way. And slowly but surely, I found my love for fitness and found my way into helping others and being an example for others, and ended up getting a job as a coach at a local Gold's Gym. And from there, this was a couple years later, I walked into the Gold's and I wasn't even certified as a trainer. I just knew that I loved it and went every day, and I could see the progress that it was bringing to my life and people around me. So I was like, you know, I think I could do this as a job, and I would love to do it as a job, actually. So reached out to the local trainer director and I said, hey, I'm not certified, but I would love to learn more about coaching, training. And he said, you know what? I've followed you for quite some time around the gym. I've seen you in here every day. He was like, I'm going to take a leap on you. We'll go ahead and hire you. Not being certified, we'll give you 60 days to get certified and we'll keep you on board. So giving me that opportunity or offer to take the reins and, you know, jump, make the leap, I did it. And within 60 days, I was certified. And that was in 2013. And I've been coaching ever since.
That's amazing, because, you know, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do going into college. I'd done 5 different majors, one too many for my parents' liking.
Yeah.
And, well, let's be, I mean, there's nothing wrong with community college, and I'm still in community college, but I was like, well, at least it's not the 4-year school where it costs even more money. So,
yeah.
And so even though I have a scholarship and whatnot, I was like, I don't know what I wanted to do. Because I was passionate about video games, I was like, you know, I want to try the video game route. And funny enough, my teacher, he wasn't the one teaching the video game studying, but he was my web design teacher. He's like, funny thing about video games, since like I have a friend who works at EA, the big gaming company.
Yes.
And all he does is make grass all day. I'm like,
make grass?
Yeah. And I was like, there's a department for grass? I'm like, no, I'm not going to video games. And it's like, because every time when I play all these cool video games, it's like, well, these characters can talk, these other characters can move, and what else? I wonder how, know how that works. But there's a department just for grass. And like, yeah. I'm like, no thanks. And like, I'm not doing that. And so after, and I did, when I first started college, I did go into the personal training field, but math and science were not my strong suit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what would be my strong suit? And I was like, okay, something in technology, media, speaking wise. And I found media studies, and it's like, oh, speaking, broadcasters. Like, I do have a big mouth and I don't know when to shut up. So I was like, let's go there. And here I have been ever since. And there's sometimes when my parents are like, oh, they're like, what do you do for work? He's like, oh, I was like, podcaster, live streamer, keynote speaker. And I was like, well, how's that a job? And he's like, I use my voice 24/7, and I don't know how to shut up. It's like a couple of years when I wasn't talking, so I'm playing catch up.
Jimmy, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, so I'm not too far away. I'm 34. And I wanted to chime in and sort of give my take, and not that it means anything or holds any weight, because who am I? But I finished school, but I didn't do anything with my degree, and that seems to be the typical story. And you know, I think for some people that might be listening that are in that scenario of like, I don't know what the hell I want to do with my life, you know, you truly probably don't. And I feel like even to this day, even though I love what I do, I've been coaching for over a decade, you know, is it the only thing I'm going to do for the rest of my life? Probably not. But I went to school originally for engineering. And then after that, I wasn't too great with math myself, and went into paramedic. So after that wreck, before I was actually certified or took that leap as a trainer, the 2 years after the wreck, I went to a community college and took my paramedic or health and sciences degree, and went through the whole process, got my paramedic, and never did anything with it. But I think because my calling or my love for fitness, even though I got dean's list every semester in my paramedic program, my love and just passion for fitness and seeing what it did for my life took over. And, you know, there's a saying that I've heard, and I try and remind myself, the path illuminates as you walk it. You know, so some people that may be listening that don't know or unsure of what direction they should take, just start taking, pick one and go with it. Whatever, you know, you're passionate about or pulls your heartstrings, start walking towards it, and the path will illuminate as you continue to walk it. But if you just sit there and watch it from, let's say, a distance, it's never probably going to light up and show you the way until you start taking those first initial steps.
I agree with that 100%, because I'm very passionate about fitness, but since math and science were not my strong suit, I know media studies is where I'm meant to be, because I'm not going to name any names, of course, but let's just say there's some Facebook groups I'm in that I've seen some people who call themselves podcast professionals. And it was like, I know everything about podcasting and whatnot. And let's just say there's some people in that realm of the industry where it's surprising that they can call themselves professionals, because there's some things that they lack knowledge of, like, oh, this tool can hook up with this to go to this platform. I'm yeah. like, if you're a professional doing this, then you should know this. And it's like, I know this. And it's like, and I don't consider myself as a podcast expert guru, because I'm not teaching in podcast expert guruing stuff. But I was like, come on, guys.
Well, that's, you know, I think the fact, it's cool that you mentioned that, you know, you're a podcaster, right? You are one, right? I'm on your show, which I'm grateful to be on. But at the same time, you don't consider yourself an expert. And I think that mentality, or that way of thinking isn't a bad thing at all. And it's probably a great thing, I think, for a lot of not just podcasting, but most things in general, because once you think that you're an expert, you stop learning. You stop being open-minded and listening to insights, perspectives, analytics, things like that, because you're an expert and you know it all. You know, I deal a lot with that when it comes to helping people with their fitness, their mindset, their nutrition. But I'm sure you could do the same thing when you're talking to a podcast expert. You're like, man, this person's so closed-minded. They think they know it all, right? But it's about being, I guess, not humble is a word. Some people might take that as being soft, but realizing that you're on your journey, but you're just getting started type of deal.
Exactly. I always tell people, like, people, let's just say there's some people around me who's like, how are you going into the tech industry and help people with their computer problems? I'm like, I'm sorry, no. As I deal with this with my business, troubleshooting this, troubleshooting that, I'm like, it's enough. I'm cutting it off of there. If I can hit, there's companies I work with that who is now taking over the technical stuff for the website and whatnot. It's like, there's a reason why I pay a large sum of money to a company to go do this. And it's like, by now, I would say I'm very knowledgeable in the technology realm, but I always know that there's somebody's gonna know more than me.
Oh yeah,
my friend, who's also autistic, he can literally take a used TV apart and he made it into a tablet.
Oh dang, that's badass.
Yeah. He just taught himself. He didn't even like look up YouTube. He was just tinkering. It was like, if I did that, I'd probably either A, electrocute myself, or B, I was like, what the hell did I just do?
Hey, Jimmy, I got a question for you about, you know, your path and gaming and whatnot. Did you or have you, I'd love to learn a little bit about you with the time that we do have. Have you thought about streaming some of that gaming? Like on Twitch or anything like that?
I have. Let's just say in some of the gaming that I do, there's a lot of better streamers than I would be out there. Like some of them, I've seen people risk, like, I mean, I know it's only in-game currency, but like one of, like somebody I've heard of, like lost like hundreds of millions of stuff worth in in-game stuff. Just like, But he can like just refer afford it again in the game. It's like,
yeah,
well, I don't even have that in the game. It's like, okay.
I guess it depends on the game. I'm friends, and I'm very close friends with a professional gamer who streams a lot and whatnot. And he came from a background similar to mine, partying, going on a path to nowhere very quickly. And he just devoted all his time, which he didn't know that it was going to take off. Like it did, but he put in the time and over compounding time and efforts, slowly built a following and has continued to, I guess, play professionally for a decade himself. But I'm not big into the gaming thing. I haven't played video games since like Call of Duty Black Ops back in the day, but he plays a game called League of Legends.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people play that game. But like my next question for you is like for me, like, you know, fitness for me helped me get up, lose 30 pounds with P90X.
Dude, that's awesome.
And so I got into fitness back in 2011, 2012-ish. I've been working out pretty much nonstop ever since. I mean, the only times when I do stop is when I'm like sick, because I'm not one of those people who's like, yeah, I'll just sweat it out. And it's like, I tried that before. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It made me worse for 3 more weeks.
Oh.
I was like, thank you. Great idea, brain.
Yeah.
Well, I got under my brain again. New to self. Never do that again.
Right.
So my next question for you is, how do you stay motivated? I mean, how do you stay motivated to keep learning new things in the gym? Because like, I'm sure you probably can't come across after a while as like, no matter like who you're following, other trainers, they're all the same moves, whether different workout programs. And then there's like, yeah, this is, I'm just going to make up something off the top of my head. It's like, this is the bear crawl pull up or whatever. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. For me, I meet people where they're at. You know, it's if we're talking or if the question involves working with people. But for myself, I found over time that the simpler, the better. So success, not only with fitness and most everything else in life, success comes through consistency and the simplicities. So the more simple you can keep it, the more frictionless you can keep it or make it, the more compounding consistency you'll probably be able to keep at it. And over time, over deposits, compounding interest, you're going to get more result. More inputs equals more outputs for the most part. You know, there's nuances, variances for that. But for me, there are little things or tricks that I might add into a program or something like that. But for the most part, I keep it pretty simple and straightforward. The basics, the fundamentals, compound movements, and accessories after that for whatever imbalances that I personally might have or find, weaknesses, mobility issues, whatever. But when working with clients, though, I work with all different age ranges, male, female, the pre-existing conditions going on. And I just meet them where they're at. So we go through typically a learning process, which takes a little bit of time, whether it's online or in person. And then after that, I'm able to meet them with what they're able to do to start building a path or a trajectory that they can knock out one day at a time or one deposit at a time and start building a person they would admire.
So my next question for you is, so I had this person on my show before, and the interview is not out yet. So this person, he was a yoga expert. And what I found interesting is that he basically, I don't know if you heard of this, but he said that stretching can be very bad for you. And I was like, really? And it's like, yeah, stretching is bad for you. And it's like, huh, that's interesting. And what he shared with me is that everyone should be doing dynamic stretches. So stretching like this way, hold it for a few seconds, do it again. But there's like, if you're doing a warm up, you shouldn't be fully stretching because you're basically stretching your muscles out and you're weakening it. Have you heard of that before?
I have, and I kind of agree with it, you know, for certain instances. You know, weak things break is a saying that I try and remind myself and clients. You know, for the most part, stretching for a workout, you want it to be dynamic or within the same movement. So if you're going to squat, you know, if you have a squat day coming up, for example, you'd want to squat as the stretch. You would want to almost do the repetition. There's other things you could do to warm up for a squat, but you just don't want to sit there in a static hold, stretching, lengthening that muscle out, really pulling on it, on a cold muscle especially. You know, so some dynamic type of warm up, whether it's just small, simple patterns or movements that you can do, will definitely help warm up the muscle per se. You know, when it comes to like a static, I guess, stretch where you're really holding it for a certain amount of time and really lengthening the muscle out is when you're trying to like disengage a muscle that's tight or locked up because of a weak imbalance. Typically, you want to work on strengthening those areas instead of stretching them for the most part. You might have to stretch them to get them loose, to get them working, whether it's mobility or whatever that you're looking for, range of motion. Then after you get that accomplished, you want to start strengthening it as quickly as possible, because typically stuff tightens up or stiffens up because there's an imbalance or a weakness in it. So for the most part, I mean, again, that's not a cover broad statement for everything. There's nuances and variances to it, but for the most part, yeah, I agree.
And the reason I was asking, because when he was on my show, and still not out yet, but when I was interviewing him, he was telling me like that many trainers do not know about this kind of stuff, because like he's seen a lot of trainers and heard a lot of trainers just talking about just regular holding stretches. And I was like, this is so weird. Somebody's telling me after all these years that undo everything that you've done. And I was like, oh, damn, how do I do this?
Isn't that wild? You know, in high school, you were taught a stretch. You got to stretch. You know, you stretch before you worked out. Like, you, or at least in my high school gym class and middle school, they make you stretch before you worked out.
Who would have thought that? And it's funny, during that episode, I was telling them, I was like, let me get this straight. So you, first thing is like, sitting is bad for you. As like drinking too much, drinking alcohol at any day, any time of the day, or how many glasses are just terrible for you.
Yep.
If you're leaning down on towards your computer, it's bad for you. So now stretching is bad for you. It's like, huh, this industry doesn't seem to tire kids at all.
Yeah, it's a lot of contradictories, I guess, huh?
Yeah. No wonder why I can never sleep at night.
Yeah.
Well, what's next? You cannot drink any more water. Oh, crap.
Yeah, and actually, hold your breath. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold your breath now. No, don't. My last few questions for you, and I would love to have you back on the show, because I love talking about fitness and whatnot, but my day has just gone whoopee crazy. So my last few questions for you is, who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
One directly shot to my mind, and so it has to be that one. It is a gentleman called Andy Frisella. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he has a podcast or a couple podcasts. One's called the MFCEO, and it's an acronym for something that I may or may not should say on the show. But you could put the words together, the MFCEO. But he has another podcast called Real AF as well. And one, the Real AF is more current events and topics of just current events and stuff like that. And then the other one, the MFCEO, is all about business, entrepreneurship, self-development, self-improvement. And I am big on self-development and self-improvement and building this thing up here as much as I can, because this controls pretty much everything. The way we see, the way we think, the way we think about ourselves, the way we talk to ourselves, the way we show up. And if we can get this under control as much as possible, a little self-mastery, we'll be able to control this even quicker.
I agree with that. That's why I don't watch news.
There you go.
The only time when I do look at anything news related, it just happens to show up in my Google News Reader.
Yeah.
But that's algorithm crap for you. even when I tell Google, it's like, not interested. It's like, hey, you might be interested now. I was like, no, I'm still not that interested.
Yeah. I think when you click that, they send it even harder. They're like, you know what? We're going to change your mind.
Yeah. I mean, but to me, when I just like read the headlines, I kind of get the gist of the stuff. So it's like, okay, if I'm just looking at the headlines, it's like, I'm not going to let it bother my day. I'm just going to say, oh, okay, that's what's happening.
That's a great way to look at it. You know, it's stuff out of your control.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, why would you let that bundle up your day when you could focus on a lot of things that are within your control?
Exactly. And, you know, it's amazing. Like, there's sometimes my parents watch the news a lot. And so I said to them, I was like, how about we order dinner, or like if we're having our dinner like at 6 o'clock when there's no news on? Just because it's like, I hate news. I can't stand the news. It gets me bent out of shape. As I don't care if people vote left or right. None of my business. But as at the end of the day, it's like, let's just all agree that all politicians are.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion anyway. So.
Yeah.
So my last question for you is, where can people follow you, find you, learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, man. So feel free to give me a follow on Instagram. That's where I'm the most active, at @apageman, at @apageman. And that's where I show my daily habits, my daily process. And I'm on there all day. I do have obligations, but I literally on there explaining what works for me and what's worked for my clients, and show how you can start taking accountability, ownership, and control of your life.
That's awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes. And like I said, I would love to have you back on my show. You're an amazing person. I wish you the best of luck. Sincerely. I definitely want you to come back at some point later this year, because yeah, I would definitely love to talk more about fitness and not in a rush, because...
Hey, well, we made the best with what we had, man. I appreciate you having me on, man. It was awesome. It's great to meet you, man.
Same to you. And let's stay in touch, and I'll let you know when your episode's ready.
All right, bud.
Have a good rest of your day.
All right, take care.
So that's all the time we have for today. If you like the show, like this episode, leave me a review. Let me know how we're doing. We keep it polite. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite. We're honored to have you as part of our audience. If you're looking for a more immersive experience, we invite you to join our private community, where you'll get exclusive access to Jimmy Clare, expert guests, and a community of high achievers. Click the link in our show notes to learn more and apply. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you thought of this episode. Your feedback matters.
Hey, this is Jimmy Clare, and I just want to say thank you for being a loyal and supportive Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast subscriber. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you, our show wouldn't be possible, and we wouldn't still be standing today. Thank you for your support and everything that you have done over the years to keep us in business. Thank you.